Save the $2 on tomorrow's paper. Listen to the Devil's Advocates today.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Today is a whopper of a Wednesday edition. We have a fine guest co-deviling with me in the 4 o'clock hour. That is Batman, Matt Rothschild, from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. But President Joe Biden is currently involved in only his second press conference of his presidency so far. I think he's done a fairly good job. Let's go back to the presser. A lot of reporters, though, trying to harsh my buzz. Joe, tell me why it's so terrible under your presidency. You know, it's all in the framing of the questions. I don't like how they framed them so far. But you can hear for yourself. President Joe Biden from the White House.
For Russia, militarily, they have overwhelming superiority and as it relates to Ukraine. But they'll pay a stiff price immediately, near term, medium term, and long term if they do it. I'm sorry.
Peter Ducey, Fox News. No, just kidding.
Thank you, Mr. President. I wanted to follow up on your answer there about Russia and Ukraine. When you were in Geneva in June, you said to us about President Putin, I think the last thing he wants now is a Cold War. Now, since then, of course, you've seen him gather these troops, 100,000 troops around Ukraine. Your Secretary of State said today he thought he could invade it at any moment. You've seen the cyber attacks, and you've seen the demand that he have a sphere of influence in which you would withdraw all American troops and nuclear weapons from what used to be the Soviet bloc. So I'm wondering if you still think that the last thing he wants is a Cold War. And has your view of him changed in the past few months? And if it has, and he does invade, would your posture be to really move back to the kind of containment policy that you saw so often when you were still in the Senate?
The answer is that I think he still does not want any full-blown war, number one. Number two, do I think he'll test the West, test the United States and NATO as significantly as he can? Yes, I think he will. But I think he'll pay a serious and dear price for it that he doesn't think now will cost him what it's going to cost him. And I think he'll regret having done it. Now, whether or not, I think that, how can I say this in a public forum? I think that he is dealing with what I believe he thinks is the most tragic thing that's happened to Mother Russia, in that the Berlin Wall came down, the empire has been lost, the near abroad is gone, etc. The Soviet Union has been split. But think about what he has. He has 8 time zones, a burning tundra that will not freeze again naturally, a situation where he has a lot of oil and gas, but he is trying to find his place in the world between China and the West. And so I'm not so sure that he has David, I'm not so sure he has is certain what he's going to do. My guess is he will move in. He has to do something. And by the way, I've indicated to him the 2 things he said to me that he wants guarantees on. One is Ukraine will never be part of NATO. And 2, that NATO or there will not be strategic weapons stationed in Ukraine. Well, we can work out something on the second piece, pretending what he does along the Russian line as well, the Russian border in the European area of Russia. On the first piece, we have a number of treaties internationally and in Europe that suggest that you get to choose who you want to be with. But the likelihood that Ukraine is going to join NATO in the near term is not very likely, based on much more work they have to do in terms of democracy and a few other things going on there, and whether or not the major allies in the West would vote to bring Ukraine in right now. So there's room to work if he wants to do that. But I think, as usual, he's going to... Well, I probably shouldn't go any further, but I think it will hurt him badly.
Sounds like you are offering some way out here, some off-ramp, and it sounds like what it is at least an informal assurance that NATO is not going to take in Ukraine any time in the next few decades. And it sounds like you're saying we would never put nuclear weapons there. He also wants us to move all of our nuclear weapons out of Europe and not have troops rotating through the old Soviet bloc. Do you think there's space for that there?
No. No, there's not space for that. We won't permanently station, but the idea we're going to actually increase troop presence in Poland or Romania, et cetera, if in fact he moves. Because we have a sacred obligation in Article 5 to defend those countries. They are part of NATO. We don't have that obligation relative to Ukraine, although we have great concern about what happens in Ukraine. Thank you. Maureen, USA Today.
Thank you, Mr. President. I wanted to follow up on your comment on Build Back Better and also ask you a question about the pandemic. You said that you're confident you can pass big chunks of Build Back Better this year. Does that wording mean that you are thinking about, you're looking at breaking the package up into individual portions? And then on the pandemic, now that the Supreme Court has blocked the vaccination or test rule for larger businesses, are you reconsidering whether to require vaccines for domestic flights as a way to boost vaccination rates?
First of all, on the last part of the question, the Supreme Court decision, I think, was a mistake, but you still see thousands and thousands of people who work for major corporations having to be tested as a consequence of the decision made by the corporation, not by the standard ISET that is there. I think you'll see that increase, not decrease, number one. What was the first part of your question?
On your comment that you made, that you're confident that major chunks of Build Back Better can pass, are you breaking it up?
Does that it's clear to me that that we're going to have to probably break it up. I think that we can get, and I've been talking to a number of my colleagues on the Hill, I think it's clear that we would be able to get support for the $500-plus billion for energy and the environmental issues that are there, number one. Number two, I know that the two people who've opposed, on the Democratic side at least, support a number of the things that are in there. For example, Joe Manchin strongly supports early education, 3 and 4 years of age, strongly supports that. There is strong support for, I think, a number of the way in which to pay for these, pay for this proposal. So I think there is, I'm not going to negotiate against myself as to what should and shouldn't be in it, but I think we can break the package up, get as much as we can now, and come back and fight for the rest later. Ken, Wall Street Journal, Ken Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I wanted to ask you about the economy. As you said earlier, Americans are feeling the squeeze of inflation. Oil prices have been at about a 7-year high recently. How long should Americans expect to face higher prices when they're at the grocery store, when they're at the gas pump? Is this something that they're going to see into the summer, into next fall? And separately, you talk about the importance of the Fed, but isn't that an acknowledgement that you're limited in what you can do? If you're relying on the Fed to make decisions and you're unable to get a Build Back Better proposal through, aren't you simply limited in what you can do to deal with inflation?
Well, look, as you know, Ken, the inflation has everything to do with the supply chain. And I think what you're seeing is that we've been able to make progress on speeding up the access to materials. For example, one-third of the increase in cost of living is the cost of automobiles. The reason automobiles have skyrocketed in price is because of the lack of computer chips. So we have the capacity, and we're going to do everything in our power to do it, to become self-reliant on the computer chips that we need. in order to be able to produce more automobiles. That's underway. We've already passed, within the context of another bill, money for that in the House of Representatives, before the House of Representatives now. But I think there's a way we can move to, if we can move to get, for example, that one thing done, it can make a big difference in terms of the cost of, the total cost of living. Now, with regard to the whole issue of energy prices, that gets a little more complicated. But you saw what happened when I was able to convince everyone from including China, India, a number of other countries to agree with us to go into their version of their petroleum reserve to release more into the market. So that brought down the price about 12, 15 cents a gallon, some places more. There's going to be a reckoning along the line here as to whether or not we're going to continue to see oil prices continue to go up in ways that are going up now relative to what impact that's going to have on the producers. And so it's going to be hard. I think that's the place where most middle-class people, working-class people get hit the most. They pull up to a pump, and all of a sudden, instead of paying $2.40 a gallon, they're paying $5 a gallon. That's going to be really difficult. But so we're going to continue to work on trying to increase oil supplies that are available. And I think there's ways in which we can be of some value added in terms of the price of gas, natural gas, and the like, to take the burden off the European countries that are now totally dependent on Russia. But it's going to be hard. It's going to be very hard. But I think that we have to deal with, for example, like I said, you have a circumstance where people are paying more for a pound of hamburger meat than they ever paid. Well, one of the reasons for that is you don't have that many folks out there that are the ones that are got the big four controlling it all. And so you're going to see more and more, we're going to move on this competition piece to allow more and more smaller operations to come in and be able to engage in providing, buying and providing the access to much cheaper meat than exists now. But it's going to be a haul. Now, and as you, I assume the reason you said if I can't get Build Back Better is relates to what those 17 Nobel laureate economists said, that if in fact we could pass it, it would actually lower the impact on inflation, reduce inflation over time, et cetera. So there's a lot we have to do. It's not going to be easy, but I think we can get it done. But it's going to be painful for a lot of people in the meantime. That's why the single best way to take the burden off middle class and working class folks is to pass the Build Back Better piece that are things that they're paying a lot of money for now. If you get to trade off higher gases, you're putting up with higher price of hamburgers and gas versus whether or not you're going to be able to pay for education and or child care and the like. I think most people would make the trade. Their bottom line would be better in middle class households. But it's going to be hard, and it's going to take a lot of work.
Well, sir, you mentioned China. Do you think the time has come to begin lifting some of the tariffs on Chinese?
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I don't think we will continue with the Joe Biden press conference. If you want more coverage, check your local listings. I'm sure one of the cable news networks will have it later for you. But we will allow you to react. How's Joe doing? A lot of negative, sort of snarky questions, to my opinion. Joe Biden started the press conference, sort of a Clint Eastwood-esque snarl, you know, feeling lucky punk, kind of had that look on his face. Anyways, your opinions matter here. Join us, 844-967-2789. And also, lots of breaking legal news. We'll update you. And one more, Maggie Haberman at the New York Times says Donald Trump is now going to run for president again. More Devils.
The buck stops with me.
I'm Satan reincarnated.
Let's go, Brandon. I agree. Yeah.